All right, we'll say good morning. New parak today. Very exciting, beautiful parak. Lamed out. Today's daf is Lamed Beis 32. We're going to start from the Mishnah. Elu ne'emar b'choloshon. We'll say these are the things that can be recited in every language. In other words, that these are recitations that need not be done only in Lashon HaKodesh. They don't have to only be done in Hebrew, but they can be done in any language. What are they? Parsha Sota. So we'll say, Parsha Sota. Now Rashi points out over here, Parsha Sota is Masha Kohen Omer Lo. When the Kohen gives her over the instructions of Sota, like we've discussed a number of times, those instructions don't have to be in Lashon HaKodesh. Rather, they can be in any Lashon. The Vidui Meiser. So Vidui Meiser, we'll say. So Vidui Meiser literally means the Meiser confession. Rashi again points out that this is in the third year of the agricultural cycle. A person is obligated to say, Bi'arti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. I have dispensed and dispersed all of my tithes. So therefore, again, a person is obligated to make that particular statement. And therefore, Halacha Maaseh, the Mishnah is teaching me, that statement need not be made in Lashon HaKodesh. Does not have to be in Hebrew, but rather it could be in any Lashon. Kriyashma, this is actually very interesting. You should know if you're following Dat Yomi B'Halacha, which I would strongly suggest. It's a wonderful compliment to Dat Yomi. So again, it's just a little commercial. It's one page of Shulchan Aruch with Mishnah Berurah a day. Fantastic, fantastic limud. It gives you a little dose of halacha lemaisa, very digestible portions. We're about to start these halachas. This is Simin Samech Beis in Arachayim. We're about to start this halacha. I think it's Sunday or Monday. No, maybe it's Monday or Tuesday that we get this of Kriyat Shema b'chol lashon. So it's a good time to pick up. So again, Kriyat Shema could be said in any lashon. Utfila, prayer, Shmona Esrei, could be said in any lashon as well. Birkas Amazon, benching, could be said in any language. Shavua Sa'idos, we'll say Shavua Sa'idos is the following situation. If I know that Reuven knows testimony that benefits me, right? I have a particular case, I know that Reuven knows testimony, Reuven's reticent to testify, which we'll say happens all the time. People just don't want to get involved in things. There's something called Shavua Sa'idos where I can make Reuven swear that he does not know testimony about this particular situation. So that also doesn't have to be done in Hebrew. Shavua Sa'pikadon. What the Shavua Sa'pikadon is, if I deposit something with Reuven to watch, and Reuven claims that he does not have it or that he returned it to me, there's something called the Shavua Sa'pikadon where he has to swear that he does not have it in his possession. These Shavuas need not be in Hebrew. So we'll say this is the list of things that although are stated in the Torah Lashon HaKodesh, need not be recited in Hebrew Lashon HaKodesh. Could be recited in any language. I'll say just the caveat, by the way, is that although we say it can be recited in any language, it has to be a language you understand. So for example, I don't have to recite Shema in Hebrew. I could recite Shema in any language, although it's a machlokes if this applies to the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael Shema Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But let's say I can't say Shema in French if I don't speak French. Now, the amazing part about Lashon HaKodesh is you could say anything in Hebrew, even if what? Even if you don't understand it. The ability to use another language is there as long as you understand that other language. Ve'ilu ne'emar b'Lashon HaKodesh. I will say this, the following is a list of things that must be said in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew. And what are they? Mikra Bikurim. So I will say again, the recitation of Bikurim. This is when you bring your Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. So remember again, this is like the condensed Jewish history that a person gives. Arami Oved Avil, we say it in the Haggadah actually. We speak about the episode of Yaakov, you know, and Lavan all the way through arriving in Eretz Yisrael. That has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Chalitza, interesting enough, the Chalitza process, right, also has to be done in Hebrew. Brachos uklalos. So we'll say brachos uklalos. If you look at Rashi, this is in the wide lines of Rashi 2, 4, 6, about 7 lines into the wide lines. Rashi is brachos uklalos. Sha'amron Yoshua v'Yisrael b'har grizim b'har eval. We'll say when Yoshua brings the nation into Eretz Yisrael, they cross the Jordan River, they come in, and they're standing by Har Grizim and Har Eval, right by Shechem. So they go ahead and there's a series of blessings and curses. Those blessings and curses had to be done in Lashon HaKodesh, had to be done in Hebrew. Next, Birchas Kohanim, Duchening, has to be done in Hebrew. Birchas Kohen Gadol, well, so the bracha of the Kohen Gadol, Rashi points out, was the bracha that the Kohen Gadol gave the people when he would emerge from the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. So that, on Yom Kippur, that had to be done in Lashon HaKodesh. Parshas HaMelech, Vosei Parshas HaMelech was the recitation the king made on Hakel. I remember again on the Sukkot after the Shemitah year, so everybody would be gathered in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash and the king would read a section that had to be done in Hebrew. Parshas Egla Rufa, the parsha of the decapitated calf. So remember again, that's talking about a situation if you find a dead body in between two cities and it's not clear who killed the individual. So the elders of the closest city come out and do this whole process. They break the neck of the calf. So that has to be done on Lashon HaKodesh. This is very interesting. The Mashuach Milchama was the specifically appointed Kohen who again went out with the army into the war. Remember, right before they go out to battle, the Mashuach Milchama gives a speech. What's the speech? The speech is, first of all, number one, don't be afraid. But then he goes in and gives the exemptions. If you built a house, you didn't live in it, you can go back. You married a woman, you didn't live with her, you can go back. All the different exemptions. That has to be done on Lashon HaKodesh. So the Gemara said, now the Gemara is going to go through each of the items that have to be done on Lashon HaKodesh, and it's going to explain why. Mikra Bikurim Ketzad. So also remember, again, one of the things that we said has to be done in Lashon HaKodesh is Mikra Bikurim. So what's Mikra Bikurim? So Va'anisa Va'amarta Lifnei Hashem. How do I know that it has to be done on Lashon HaKodesh? Because the pasuk says va'anisa va'amarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. We'll say now. Normally, va'amarta means you'll say va'anisa, like Rashi points out, b'kol ram means you say it out loud. So you'll say out loud the following recitation: ula halanu omer. So we'll say it says va'anisa va'amarta by mikra bikurim, and later on it says va'anu halavim va'amru. We'll say now. This is talking about by the brachos and klalos. This is talking about when Klal Yisrael were literally right by Har Gerizim and Har Eval. So the pasuk says, remember how we'll see this later on in the Mishnah. But the way it worked in Har Gerizim and Har Eval is you had six tribes on one mountain, six tribes on another mountain. Kohanim, Leviim, and the Aron in the middle, in between the two mountains. And the Leviim would be the ones who would say the brachos and the klalos, and everyone would answer Amen. So the pasuk says, Va'anu ha-Leviim va'amru. The Leviim would call out and they would say. So the Gemara says, Ma lahalon b'lashon HaKodesh, afkan b'lashon HaKodesh. So essentially what the Gemara is saying over here is, it says, Va'anu va'amru, it says, Va'anisa va'amarta by Bikurim. And it says again, Va'anu va'amru, by brachas and klalos, and just like by brachas and klalos, the blessing and curses, by Hagriz and Har Eval, they were said in Lashon HaKodesh, so to what? Mikra Bikurim is also in Lashon HaKodesh. In other words, it's Gzeir Shava. It's Gzeir Shava. So the Gemara says, Chalitza Ketza. What's the Ketza Chalitza? Va'ansa Va'amra. Again, Abba say, you see a pattern over here. Anytime it seems to be the Chehav, Va'ana Va'amra, a variation of that word, of saying out loud, we compare that to the case of brachos and klalos, the blessing and curse by Hagrizim and Areval. And we say, just like by the blessing and curse of Hagrizim and Areval, it was said in Hebrew, so too this thing is said in Hebrew as well. Vansa va'amra, by Chalitza it says, she'll say out loud, Ola alanhu omr va'anu ha'levim va'amru, ma lahalan balash nakodesh, avkan balash nakodesh. Just like by the brachos and klalos, they said it in Hebrew, so too again, by Chalitza, she said it in Hebrew as well. Rabbi Huda says, Va'ansa va'amra kacha. Rabbi Huda says that by Chalitza it says, she will say out loud, this is what is done to a man who will not build up the home of his deceased brother. Ad shetomar belashon hazeh. Until she says it in this particular lashon. So we'll say, Rabbi Huda is not arguing with the previously stated opinion that Chalitza has to be done in Hebrew. He's just what? He's just advancing another proof, another opinion for this. So the Gemara goes weiter. Brachos, so we'll say, so now look what we're doing so far. So far what we've shown is that both Bikurim and Chalitza, which the Mishnah said have to be recited in Hebrew, come from a comparison to Brachos and Klal, so the blessing and curses recited by Klal Yisrael when we entered into the land of Israel on the mountains of Gerizim and Eval. Now the Gemara says, well, let's back up a little bit. Brachos uklalos ketzad. How do you know that the brachos and klalos had to be recited, the blessings and curses had to be recited in Hebrew? Look what the Gemara says. Ketzad, kevan sha'avru Yisrael asayardein, when the Jewish people crossed over the Jordan, uba'o el har grizim v'hal, ve'el har eval, and they came to the mountains of Gerizim and the mountains of Eval, sheb shomron, that are in the Shomron, shebetzad shchem, that are right next to Shchem, shebe'etzel elonei moreh, that are next to Elonei Moreh. Now, Bosse, we'll see this. Now, by the way, you should just know, it's amazing, when we were with a group in Eretz Yisrael last winter, so we were standing, it was amazing, I've never been there before, we were standing on the top, the highest point in Itamar. So Itamar overlooks Shechem. And it's an amazing thing, because we're overlooking Shechem, you see literally Kever Yosef, Kever Yosef down in the valley, and Har Gerizim and Har Eva are right in front of you. So Har Gerizim and Har Eva literally are right next to Shechem. So they crossed over the Jordan, they come to Har Gerizim and Har Eva, and what happens? Shene Emar Halohima Be'era Yardin. Ula Halan Hu Omer. And later on it says, so remember, it says that when they crossed over, it says that they were in the Eva HaYardin, by the Jordan River. Ula Halan Hu Omer, Vayavar Avraham Ba'aretz, Ad Mekom Shechem, Ad Elon Moreh. And by Avram Avinu, in Parshas Lech Lecha, it says Avram Avinu came into the land until Shechem, Ad Elon Moreh. Ma Elon Moreh Ha'amor Lehalon Shechem, Af Elon Moreh Ha'amor Kan Shechem. So Rabbi says, see, the Gemara now is suggesting, the Mishnah is suggesting, and we'll see this in the Gemara, that Elon Moreh and Shechem are in fact the same place. Okay, we'll discuss that later. So what was the process? What was his fasting? What was the process? They entered in, they crossed over the Jordan, they're standing there in Eretz Yisrael. So what happens? So Shish Shavatim Alu Lerosh Har Gerizim. Six tribes went up on what? On Har Gerizim. Vishisha Shavatim Alu Lerosh Har Eval. Six tribes went up on Har Eval. Vakohanim Valevim Va'aron Omdim Lamata Be'emtza. And the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Aron were standing in the middle, in the valley between the two mountains. Hakohanim Makif and Es Ha'aron. The Kohanim surrounded the ark. Vahalevim Es Ha'Kohanim. And the Levim surrounded the Kohanim. V'chol Yisrael Mikhan Mikhan. And all of Klal Yisrael is standing, remember, Klal Yisrael is standing on one of the two mountains. Six tribes on Har Gerizim, six tribes on Har Ebal. Shnei Amar, V'chol Yisrael, Uzekeinu, V'sholtra, V'sholtav, Omdim Mizeh U'Mizeh La'aron. Listen to this. So Hafchu Pneim Klapei Har Gerizim U'Paschu B'Bracha. So we'll say, at first, everyone would turn towards Har Gerizim, and they would open with a blessing. They'd remember, what was happening over here was almost like a ratification of a treaty or of a bris, of a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That bris, that covenant was expressed in a series of blessings and curses, which everyone accepted. So what happened? Everyone turned their face towards HaGrizim. Upaschu bebracha. They began with a blessing. Baruch ha'ish asher lo ya'asa pesa u'masecha. Blessed is the person who will not make an idol or a graven image. Ve'elu ve'elu omrim amen. And both the people in Har Gerizim, as well as the people in Har Eval, both answered amen. Hafchu p'neim klapei Har Eval. Then they turned their faces towards Har Eval. Upaschu b'klala, and they'd say a curse. And what was the curse? Ar ha'ish asher ya'asa pesul u'masecha. Cursed is the person who makes an idol or a graven image. Ve'elu ve'elu onin amen. And both the people in Har Gerizim and people in Har Eval both answer amen. Ad shegomrim brachos uklalos. Until they went through the whole series of brachos uklalos. So they see something very interesting. This is fascinating. What did they do in Har Gerizim and Har Eval? They said a series of blessings and curses. But the blessings and curses were the positive and negatives of the same statements. Meaning it's interesting that the covenant of God required them to state the same things in the positive and in the negative. Almost the Ribono Shel Olam realizes that in order to get people to sign on to something, the details of the covenant must be explicitly clear. If it's not explicitly clear, then the mice again, there's concern that people will find loopholes in it. So they went through this entire process of phrasing the entire covenant in the positive and the negative. Then they brought stones and they built the altar. Visadu b'sid. They covered the stones with plaster. They covered the stones with plaster. V'kasvu alav as called divrei hatorah b'shev moshe. Now, listen, this is actually very interesting. These stones, after they went ahead and they used them for the mizbeach, they deconstructed the mizbeach and they wrote on these stones the Torah in 70 languages. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, is the second to last line on the daf. Kedichsiv ubanisa sham izbeach, v'kasav talein es kol divrei hatorah azos be'er heitev. Torah says that they went ahead and they wrote the Torah Be'er Heitev. And Rashi says, what is Be'er Heitev? With good translation, Rashi says, B'shivim Lashon. They wrote it in 70 languages. So it's amazing. These stones that were used for the altar, that were covered in plaster, were then again written, was written on them, the Torah, all 70 languages. And what happens? Because of love, as Divrei HaTorah, B'shivim Lashon, they wrote the entire Torah in 70 languages. Shene Emar Be'er Heitev. V'notlu es Ha'avanim. They then took the stones. U'ba'u V'lanu Amud Beis. U'ba'u V'lanu B'mkoman. And they then went ahead and took the stones with them, and they camped in the area. So quite amazing. Says the Gemara. So we'll say, now we're going to go back a little bit and go through each of these things. Parshas Sota Minala. So we'll say, remember, the first thing the Mishnah started with was a list of things that can be recited in any language. And what's one of the things that can be recited in any language? Ultimately, Parsha Sota, section of Sota. And I remember the way Rashi understood this was that this referred to the instructions that the Kohen was giving over to the woman. Those could be recited in any lashon. Dichsev, minalan, how do we know this? Dichsev, because the Pasuk says, Va'amar ha-Kohen le'isha. The Pasuk says that the Kohen will say to the woman, and the Gemara is dashing, Va'amar is just a generic term. That means he can say to her what? In any language, b'chol lashon shu. In any language that she understands. So the Gemara says, b'chol lashon shu omer, he could say over the instructions in any language that he understands. Tan Rabbanan Mashmien Osa B'chol Lashon Shisho Ma'as. So the Brisa supports this idea. When giving over the instructions of the Sota, we could give them over to her on any language that she hears. In other words, any language that she understands. Now I will say, now what do we convey to her? We convey to her, again, a number of different pieces of information. Amahi Shosa, we explain to her again, literally, why she is drinking. Why she is drinking, Obamahishosa, and what she will be drinking from, Almanitmes, how she became defiled, Obamahinitmes, and how she became defiled. So I'll say, so what does this mean? Amahishosa, what does it mean that we tell her why she's drinking? Al iske kino yustira. But this is very interesting. We have to explain to her what the process is. So we have to explain to her, you were warned by your husband, you violated the warning, and therefore, again, this is the process that now will ensue. Ubamahishosa, and ultimately, again, what is she drinking, or what is she drinking from? Bemekido shalcheres. She is drinking, ultimately, again, from an earthenware vessel. Va'aman nitmes, right? How is it that she came ultimately to this situation of tuma? Al iske schok v'yaldus, because she behaved literally in an immature, frivolous way. And I'm about to say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Va'aman nitmes mi hevia lidei tuma. So we'll say, so this is very interesting. The Gemara says that the Kohen gives her some mussar, namely, how did she get into this situation to begin with? We'll say, remember again, this is a very important piece of Sota, which is you only wind up in this situation through a number of very bad decisions. Meaning, obviously, again, a man must have been suspicious of his wife because she was spending time with another man. Fine, so maybe he's wrong about that. But at the end of the day, the Sota process is only triggered if what? If she's alone with this man for long enough for something to have occurred. Well, that already is something that by definition is she's engaging in inappropriate behavior. Meaning, even if adultery didn't occur, the act of being secluded with a man who is not her husband is by definition inappropriate. So Rashi says over here that we speak to her, Mia via lide tuma, how did you get yourself into this situation? Schok v'kalus rosh, because you behaved in a childish, immature, frivolous manner. Kedei liyaser as hanoshim shelo yiklu rashan im ha'anoshim. We are trying to go ahead and teach a lesson that women and men should be careful about how they interact with each other. She'im ha'al yidei kach ba'os lidei v'tzav sa'espina. Ba'os is an incredible yisod, how we have to be so careful, again, what type of interaction there is between genders. And this is true, again, here, if you notice, again, the Gemara is not worried about single people. That's not what the Gemara is worried about. What the Gemara is worried about is married people. If single people do whatever they do, you know what? It's wrong, but lamais, at the end of the day, there's no major life and death issue that are being transgressed. Married people go ahead and step over certain boundaries that is significantly problematic. So the Gemara is saying over here, it's an incredible yisod. You know, Rav Soloveitchik speaks about this idea in Alat Tshuva, that sin does not happen just by itself. It's not the fact that one day just one sins. The Rav says there's something called Derech Chot'im, which is the pathway to sin. In other words, that sin is the culmination of a number of smaller bad decisions that ultimately go ahead and result in sin. Therefore, the Rav says Tshuva is not simply the cessation of sin. Tshuva means figuring out, how did I get to this place? How did I get here? How did I make this mistake? Let me retrace my steps. And tshuva is the avoidance of those steps that ultimately led to sin. That's what the Kohen's saying over here. How did you get into this situation? The way you got into the situation is because your social behaviors to begin with were inappropriate. Your level of interaction to begin with was inappropriate. Your level of familiarity with the opposite gender, other people's spouses, to begin with was inappropriate. So the Kohen ultimately is giving her mussar about the fact, even if it turns out that you're not a sota, the fact that you're in this situation means you need to address your behaviors. Furthermore, the Kohen explains to her, how does she become tame? Meaning, what happened? How does she become a sota? Beshogeg o bemezid, baones o beratzon. Now, the Kohen explains to her that the only time I will say a woman becomes, when it becomes a sota, is how? If lamais, again, she intentionally engaged in adultery. So, for example, as we spoke about before, if she was a shogeg, right? Again, let's say whatever the metzias is, she accidentally had relations with this man who is not her husband. She thought it was her husband. It turns out that it's not her husband. That doesn't trigger a sota process. Or if chas v'shalom, she's violated, that does not trigger a sota process. So we tell her all of these things. We tell her all of these things ultimately, again, that she should understand how the sota process works. The kol kach lama, so we'll say, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, b'mahi nitma, mashmir ose hilcho samay ma'arima, iza tuma in bodkinosa. We teach her what type of tuma ultimately, again, the waters check for. So the Gemara says, v'kol kach lama, why do we do all of this? Sholahotzi laza mayim hamarim, in order not to cast aspersions on the waters. Rashi says, Shalahot silas, meaning why do we have to go through all these halachos? Shalahot silas, shemit meis ba'ones o shogeges lo nevdekes, shlote svura ila nitmeisi mizida gamken ebot gonsa. So we'll say, because if it turns out that the waters don't kill her, we wanted to understand why. Because again, let's say she was chas v'shalom violated, or she had relations with a man who's not her husband, but it was accidental. So the mice, again, if she doesn't die as a result of the waters, we want her to understand it's not because the waters were deficient, but rather what? It's because the mice, again, she was not liable, she was not culpable. Says Dimar Baiter, vidui meiser. So we'll say the next thing in the list was confession about mice. Remember, year number 3, you say, Bi'arti HaKodesh Min Abayis. So also, so bottom line, Parsha Sota, the instructions can be delivered in any language. Next thing on the list was Vidui Meiser. In year number 3 of the agricultural cycle, you go ahead and you make a statement, Bi'arti HaKodesh Min Abayis. I have literally gotten rid of, I have not gotten rid of, I've distributed, thank you, right, discharged my obligations or distributed all of the tithes that are incumbent upon me. So the Mishnah said I can say this in any law, any language. So the Gemara says, how do I know this? Where do I know this from? Because the pasuk says you will say before Hashem that literally you've divested, you've given out all the tithes from the home. The yalef amira misota, and we learn out the gzirah shava of amira from sota. So bechol. So the Gemara says bechol. I'm sorry. Bechol lashon shu omer. But say just like va'amar by sota means any language, so to amar by vidui meiser also means any language. Amar Rav Zvid Labaye v'lelef amira milevim. But I don't say, why don't they learn out gzirah shava of amira to the levim, to the brachos and klalos, and say what? Just like Amar by brachos and klalos, by blessings and curses, by hagrizim and arevah means what? Hebrew. So too by vidui meiser, Amar means Hebrew as well. To which the Gemara says, no. Donin amira gredasa me amira gredasa, they ain't donin amira gredasa me anira the amira. No, because we both say why. We go ahead and we want to compare an amira by itself to an amira by itself, and not amira va'aniya. But I remember, by the Levim, it says va'anisa va'amarta. Two lashonos saying out loud. By sot, it only says amar, and by vidamais, it only says amar. Therefore, if I have a choice between comparing amar to amar versus amar to amar va'ana, I'm going to compare it just to va'amar. Fine, and therefore Vidui Meiser can be said in any lashon. Tanya, Rabbi Shabbai Yochai Omer, Adam Omer Shvacha b'kol namuch, Ugnuso b'kol ram. This is actually an amazing Gemara. A person should go ahead and speak about his praises in a low voice, but he should speak about his shortcomings in a loud voice. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, b'kol namuch, Midalok siv be, and I'm sorry, shvacho lo avarti mimitzosechav lo shechachti. So remember, in vidui meiser,
ultimately, when you have to confess that you've given your tithe, you say the phrase, La'avarti misosecher. Moshe Shalom, I have not violated any of your precepts. In other words, I've done everything you've asked me. So the halacha is, David the Meister is said in a low voice. So you see from your says the Gemara, that when you speak about your accomplishments, you speak about your praise, don't speak about a loud voice. Speak about it again in a very soft voice. On the other hand, uginuso, but again, when it comes to your shortcomings, Rashi says, kigon, arami oveit avi, hainu ginuso shemisvadin shavi and lovan harami hayarasha. So we'll say, when we speak about, again, the fact that our earliest descendants either were, truth is, interestingly enough, we don't think about this often, we are descendants of Lavan. Right, it's interesting. We are descendants of Lavan. Right, Rachel and Leah are our matriarchs, Bilhah and Zilpah. All of them come from Lavan. So again, when we speak about again our not so noble roots, so what happens? We go ahead and we say it out loud. So we'll say, so the Gemara saying over here is modeling it after Vidui Meiser. That when it comes to the praise, Lo Avarti Misosech, I've not violated anything. We say it quietly, but yet when it comes to Ginus, which is Mikra Bikurim, excuse me, we say it out loud. So I said, this becomes, Rabbi Shemaya Chai suggests, a paradigm for life. That ultimately, again, when talking about your accomplishments, so speak about in a low voice, when speaking about your shortcomings, those you could broadcast if you'd like. So the Gemara says the following, Shvacho b'kol namuch, where do we learn out that you're supposed to say your praise in a low voice? Min vidwe meiser, we learn that out from the confession of meiser. Gunusa b'kol ram, where do we learn that out? From Mikra Bikurim. Now, is that true that a person should speak about their shortcomings in a loud voice? Why is it that the rabbis instituted that one should daven quietly? Posse is amazing. Why do they institute that tefillah Shmona Esrei should be recited quietly in order not to embarrass those who go ahead and have to say vidui? So in Shmona Esrei, you must remember an important part of Shmona Esrei is confession. Slach lanu avinu. In Shema Kolinu, we have the paragraph, the supplemental tefillah of Ana Hashem Chatasi Avisu Pashati Lefanecha. So again, part of Shmona Esrei is to ask for my requests. The other part of it is to confess. So says the Gemara, why is it that Chazal instituted that tefillah should be recited quietly in order not to go ahead and embarrass people who are confessing their sins? So I say, see, you hear the question? You just said to me before that a person should, when I'm talking about my praises, I should say it quietly. Where do I learn that out from? I learned that from Vidui Meiser. Because when I confess that I dispensed all of my tithes, I say, Lo avarti mimitzvosecha, I have not violated one of your mitzvos. And how do I say that? I say it quietly. On the other hand, when it comes to Mikra Bikurim, the recitation of the Bikurim, and I speak about again, Arami Ovei Davi, that I'm a descendant of Lavan, or that our original ancestors were idolaters, that we say out loud. So you see, you could talk about your shortcomings out loud. The Gemara says, really? What about the fact that Chazal into the Shmona Esrei be recited quietly in order that what? In order that a person could confess their sins quietly. So, why? In order Kadesh Lo Levayishas Ovri Avera. In order not to embarrass a person who has sinned. Shahare, listen to this. Shahare lo chalak hakasa makom mechatas la'ola. So I'll say, interesting enough, in the Beis HaMikdash, a chatas and an ola were offered in the same place, were slaughtered in the same place. Now, I'll say now, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrate it that way? A chatas, of course, is brought as a sin offering. An ola could be brought for a variety of different reasons, a nadava, anything else. The idea is that no one should know who's bringing a sin offering versus who's bringing a voluntary offering. So we see from here that we don't broadcast the sin, but rather we may try to maintain the dignity of the sinner. To which the Gemara says, Lo teima ginuso ela imat saaro. You're right, don't say that a person should broadcast ultimately their sins. Rather, what we are saying is that a person should go ahead and broadcast their tsar. I will say, if I'm having difficulties in life, is amazing, I should share those difficulties with others. Why? Kedisanya, v'tamei tamei yikra. Because the pasuk says, by tsaras, that the person who is afflicted with tsaras should call out tamei tamei. Why should he call out tamei tamei? Tzarech lo'odia tsaro l'rabim, v'rabim mevakshim alav rachamim. Both said to teach me that what? That if I'm in pain, if I'm suffering, I should share that with the general public in order that what? In order that they should daven for me. Well, this is amazing. Where do we learn that from? From the Metzora. The Metzora is obligated to walk around saying, Tamei, Tamei, I'm Tamei, I'm Tamei. Why is he broadcasting that? So that other people should say, Nebuch. Nebuch, what's your name? What's your mother's name? Let me daven for you. They should have him in mind. The Chom Yishe'iro Bo Dover. Therefore, Abba said, we learn from him that anyone who is having a difficult time in life, Tzarech Lo Diel Rabim, should tell people, well, this is an incredible yisod, because often when people encounter challenge, often we want to keep it private, we want to keep it quiet, but we see from here that there's an element of telling the rabbim in order that the rabbim, the collective, could daven on my behalf. So therefore, Rabbi Osei, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that when we say Arami Oved Avi, we're not broadcasting our sins. We're broadcasting our tsar. It pains us. It pains us that we have this lineage. It pains us that we go back to Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But no, this is what it is. But it creates a paradigm that whenever a person is in tsar, he should share it with the collective in order that the collective could daven on his behalf. So Gufa, the Gemara is going to go back and visit this a little bit. So why did Chazal institute that tefillah be recited quietly, Shmona Esrei, in order not to embarrass the sinner, that the sinner could confess in Shmona Esrei without being embarrassed in front of anyone else? Shari, because after all, lo chalak ha-kasov makom ben chatas liola, because after all, the Ribono Shel Olam did not distinguish between the place that the chatas is offered and the place that the ola is offered. Meaning, again, that at the end of the day, lemaisa, again, they are offered in the same place. So the Gemara says velo, but it's detrilat to Rabbi Osei. The Gemara makes it sound like there's no distinction between the chatas and the ola. So the Gemara says, is that true that there's no distinction between the chatas and the ola? But after all, v'ha'ika damim, but yet there's the blood application of those karbanos, dam chatas lemalo, v'dam ola lemato, the blood of the chatas is sprinkled on the top part of the mizbeach, the blood of the ola is sprinkled on the bottom part of the mizbeach, to which the Gemara says, no, hasam kohen hu diyada. There, it's okay, you know what, it's only the, no one knows that except the kohen, and the kohen knows these things anyway, right? The kohen has, and there's kohanic confidentiality, right? The kohen can't go in and start saying whose blood was sprinkled on top, whose blood was sprinkled below. The idea is that to the general public, they don't know if it's a chatas or if it's an ola. Aye, but one second. V'ha'ika chatas nekeva, ola zachar. Rabbi Osei, one second, there is a distinction. A chatas is brought from a male animal, and ola is brought from a female. So people do see who's bringing a chatas, who's bringing an ola. To which the Gemara says, no. Hasam mechasya ba'alya. The tail of the animal covers the sexual parts of the animal. Therefore, again, no one knows if it's a male or if it's a female. The Gemara says, one second. Teinach kivsa. That works fine by a lamb. Si'ira, but by a goat that does not have a tail. Ma'ika l'meimar. So in other words, if you're bringing a goat, people can see if it's male, if it's female. If it's male, ultimately, again, they're going to know it's a chatos. If it's a female, they're going to know it's a chatos. If it's a male, they're going to know that it's an ola. To which the rest is one second. You know what? If you're bringing a goat, then hasam ihu de kamachsif nafshe di boile le isui kivsa the kamaisi siira. But so then you know what? At that some point, it's your problem. Meaning, again, the Torah gives you the way to bring a chatas quietly. Right? The Torah gives you a way. Bring a sheep. The tail will cover the sexual organs. No one's gonna know if you bring a chatas or an ola. So if you go ahead and you choose to bring a goat, and therefore everyone sees that you're bringing a female animal, therefore everyone knows you're bringing a chatas. You know what? I'm sorry. That you brought on your own. That you brought on your own. As well, say it's an incredible musr. You know, the Torah, the Ribono Shel Olam, can only help me out so much. Right? At some point in time, I need to own my circumstances and I need to figure things out. So God is giving me a way to bring the chatas with absolute, what's the word? Not confidentiality, but discretion, right? I can bring it with absolute, what was the word? Who got?
First one.
Okay, Shmuel Karavkin. Okay, excellent. Right. So now, what happens? With absolute discretion. That's the idea over here. So then, the Gemara says, "Listen, Torah is giving you the way to do it with absolute discretion. But if at the end of the day, you choose to bring the goat, and therefore again you blow your cover, everyone knows you bring a chatas, that's your own problem." So the Gemara says the following. What about the fact? What about chatas davodos kochavim? Delos sagi delav si'ira. Rabbi Osei, what about the chatas for idolatry, where you, in that case, you have to bring a goat? So there again, everyone's going to be bringing a chatas, to which the Gemara says, Hasam nichsav v'nezel. No, you know what? There, by echadus for idolatry, we want you to be embarrassed. Why? Ki hechi dinachapale. Because we'll say for the severe sin of idolatry, part of the atonement for the idolatry is what? Is the embarrassment of everyone seeing that you are bringing echadus for having worshipped the idol. So under normal circumstances, we don't need anyone to know that you're bringing echadus. We're happy to go and allow you to bring the sheep, and therefore everything is obscured, total discretion. For the chatos, for the sin offering for idolatry, part of your atonement is public embarrassment that people know that you worship idolatry, because Gnabo say there is no greater deterrent in life than public embarrassment, right? Often, again, the fact that I'm rebelling against God is not a deterrent for sin. Public embarrassment is usually a pretty good deterrent. But let's go a little bit weiter. So the Mishnah said that I could go ahead and recite Kriya Shema B'chol Lashon. I could recite Kriya Shema in any language. Says the Gemara, Minolan, how do I know this? Tichsev, because the Pasuk says, Shema Yisrael B'chol Lashon Sha'ata Shomea, because the Pasuk says, Shema Yisrael. So we learn Shema means what? You could hear it in any language that you hear. We'll say again, the caveat being, you could say it in a foreign language, but what? It has to be a language that you understand. Tan Rabbana, I suppose, now we're going to go back a couple of years to Maseches Berachos, a little bit of Chazara. Tan Rabbana, Kriyashma Kichsava Dibre Rebbe. Rebbe holds, Kriyashma must be recited as it is written. In other words, Lashna Kodesh, Hebrew. Techom Nechom, say no, Bechol Lashna. You can say Shema in any language you want. My time with the Rebbe, what's Rebbe's logic? Amar Krakos, the Pasuk says, Vahayu. The Pasuk says, Vahayu Adore Ma'ila. Vahayu means, Behavyasan Yehu. They must remain in the state in which they are in, namely, Lashna Kodesh. Verabbanon, Amrikra, the Rabbanon say, Shema. The Pasuk says, Shema, what does Shema mean? Bechol Lashon She'ata Shomea. In any language that you hear, I, Verabbanon, Amihakse, Vahayu. What do the rabbis do with the word Vahayu? Oh, that's Hahu, Shelo Yikra, and Lemafreya. That teaches me what? That I cannot read the parashos of Shema out of order. It has to be via Hafta, Vahayayim Shamoa, and Vayomer, and I cannot read them out of order. Rabbi Shleikra, and Lemafreya, Minale. Where does Rabbi learn that you can't read the parashos out of order? Nafkale midvarim hadvarim, because the pasuk says vahayu hadvarim ha'ela. These the extra hey. The pasuk could have said vahayu dvarim ela. Why does it say hadvarim? Hadvarim teaches me that these words must what? Must be said in this way and not out of order. V'rabbanon hadvarim dvarim hadvarim lamashmalu. V'rabbanon don't darshin dvarim hadvarim. I have a Rebbe, Nami Haksiv Shema. What does Rebbe do with the word Shema? Homi Baile La Shmir La Oznecha Mashatamotini Picha. Rebbe says, that teaches me that what? That when you say Shema Rabosai, you have to hear the words that are coming out of your mouth. So you have to say Shema in enough of an audible tone that you can hear what you're saying. The Rabbanon Savri and the Rabbanon hold, Savri le command Amar, Hakori Eshma velo Eshmiya la Ozno Yatza. The Rabbanon, on the other hand, say that what? They hold like the one who says Shema and did not hear what he was saying is still Yotze. So we're going to stop over here for today, Mirtz Hashem. I'll share with you a short idea in the parasha. We're going to pick up again with this Machlokes Rabbosai. So remember, what we do come out with, what we've established so far is Parsha Sota could be said in any Lashon, Vidui Meister could be said in any Lashon, and now we're up to Kriyashma. And interestingly enough, what we see is as much as the Mishnah said that Kriyashma could be said in any Lashon, there's actually a Machlokes in Rabbi Nechachamim. Rabbi says Shema has to be recited in Hebrew, to Rabbanan say Shema could be recited in any Lashon. We'll continue with that Machlokes in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. So we'll say, just to share with you a short idea on the Parsha.